The referee is reaching into their pocket. What is that card going to be? Oh, it's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It is time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I am your host, Eric Paisley. With me tonight is...
John Bredig.
Ooh, it was a mixed bag, and it gets even mixier when you think about all the injuries we got. When we're going to talk about it, the game against the Columbus Crew. John, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Good. Is that an allusion to Mixed Disc Crew? Is he going to be mentioned sometime in this episode?
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about
that. Does he work into this?
Yeah. We will talk about the hardest working player, the most valuable player, and the best goal from the last match, Saturday night, Columbus Crew. Segment two, we'll tell you what we learned about that draw, 2-2 draw. John will share some key stats. I'm interested in this section because I bet there's going to be some interesting ideas, interesting stats going to come up today. And of course, we will tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. And before we close out, we will tell you what we think the score is going to be next week. John, how are you doing tonight, my friend? What did you think of the match?
I'm doing good. My gut reaction was... I mean, I feel like it's almost a little microcosm of our season. It was a roller coaster. Like, we knew Columbus was going to possess, which is fine because we are okay not possessing. So, not a news flash there.
Right.
But, I mean, it was, you know, we let in a goal, disappointing. We come back with two crazy flashes in a short period of time, and then we try to seal it out, and then we fall short. I feel like that's kind of been a microcosm where we've had some brilliant moments, some not so great moments, and then some just kind of classic Gary Ball in between. Like, I don't know. It feels like it's a roller coaster, just like the season's been, Eric.
I was live there. I was at the match with my daughter. We had watched the match. The first half was very frustrating because I felt like we were the better team. Columbus is Columbus definitely rolled out their B-plus squad, right? They had a lot of people not on the pitch that are quality. Some of their best quality players were not on the pitch. Some of our best quality players are on the pitch, but we did have our two key scoring, you know, players on the pitch with Sam and Hani. And it seemed like we were the better team. But it was frustrating because we just couldn't catch a break. The timing was just a little off. Everything was just a little off. And then, so we decided to hit the ice cream line right before the break. And so we missed both goals that were scored. We saw them on the, you know, because you, like, as you messaged me the last time you were there with your children, that ice cream line is legit. Like, it's for real.
It's a lot.
It's for real.
Bro, when people want Ben and Jerry's at a soccer game, they will wait for Ben and Jerry's.
That line stretches all the way back to the bougie seats. They're way about, I mean, it's a long line.
Oh, dude, it's crazy.
Yeah, but luckily we were there to get like towards the first, I guess, first quarter of the line, but it still took a while. So we missed both goals before the half. The ice cream was delicious. I know you're curious about that. Second half, it just seemed, everything seemed to not really go our way. And I want to hear some of the stats about what happened. It seemed like they became the better team. We were scrambling. We were on the back foot. And it also ended poorly, and I'll talk about that in sort of the next segment. But that was my gut reaction to the match. And but I'm curious to hear who the hardest working player was in that match. Who do you have?
I'm gonna give it to Double Assist, though technically he doesn't get credit for one of these. I don't know why, but Mr. Jacob Schaffelberg. So it looks like from what I can see, I think he only gets credit for one of them, but he served up both of those. So it was beautiful stuff from Jacob. He was working hard. And I feel like you mentioned the first half, we did look decent. You know what I mean? It wasn't the most threatening, but the second half we had chances. I mean, Godoy had an amazing chance that he missed in the second half.
And an easy one to jump on in.
Yeah. Which even he admitted freely. Ben Wright said the first thing Godoy said, he freely admitted, I should have nailed that one and it should have been 3-1 to put this game away. Like he was unprompted. They didn't even ask him. So he knows how bad it was. But I feel like Jacob was doing a lot of the work. And in that first half, he was far more successful in driving forward and finding spaces. And I think that was key to us. So, I mean, to me, it's the hardest working is Jacob just because he was doing what we need him to do, which was providing that spark and connecting our midfield and backline and giving them something to do going forward other than, you know, a hopeful route one ball to Sam to hopefully bring down and possess or tap over to Hani to, you know, make a break. So,
yeah. But do you feel like I agree with everything you said. My pause is that his defensive play also let in a goal. He, his, you know, sort of he didn't mark his man. I mean, Twellman talked about it in the broadcast. He didn't mark his man, and he lost him, and it went in. So does that factor into your decision?
It does, but I mean, he's also, I don't know that Jacob is always going to be asked to be that active on that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I get it, but I don't know. Well, I'll actually allude to that a little more when we get to stats. We'll talk about
that. All right, we'll talk about that. All right, yeah. For me, it was Sam. Again, this shows my bias, but just the optics on the field, he was doing a lot of work, a lot of running, a lot more running than I've ever seen him do during a match. Normally, in that forward, you know, sort of striker role, he's up there sort of milling about. But that was more Hani this time. He was actively coming back on defense a lot more. I think he was also a lot more physical. It seemed like he's in, I'm just going to say it, he seems like he's in better shape. He just had more in the tank, yeah. I think, for this match.
Yeah.
And he really, I think he really has worked on his headers. He's worked on, you know, going up against big men. He was doing really well. I just want to kind of award him the most hardest working for that.
I feel like I saw the progression that we kind of saw with Jonder, where, you know, Cadiz didn't quite fit in, was always offside, was a little bit awkward, but then I think he got into the rhythm of being the guy to take a header, to bring it down, or to head it to someone. Mm-hmm. And you saw after like 8-9 games, he started doing that and became more effective in the team. And I feel like, I'm not saying Sam didn't know how to do it, but it wasn't, like you've mentioned,
it wasn't part of his skill.
How Nottingham played.
Yeah, well, that's not
how
Nottingham
plays. I feel
like
we've seen him do a similar path, and now he's becoming more effective as that outlet guy. So, yes, I will back you on that.
And I also want to shout out to Alex and Sam. Both were feeding Hani the ball on the ground. Again, they weren't kicking. They weren't again, Hani has asked for the ball at his feet. Everyone's responded to that. Everyone's like, okay, we're going to get it to you on the ground. Sam, I thought, had some really clever plays. He's much. I like the sort of comparison with Yonder Cadiz, because Sam is a much better dribbler. He's a much more creative on the ball than Yonder ever was. So I think that's definitely an upgrade. Anyway,
any of our strikers, except for maybe Loba, could have been, but you know,
could have been, but was it? But again, it's all talk unless you actually do it on the field, right? So all right. So let's go into MVP. Who is your most valuable player?
I mean, it's got to be, you know, the guy who was riding his bicycle all game, and it was Godoy. Now, look, here's the thing. I could see an argument for Hani or Godoy. I'm going to give it to Godoy as partially an award for the goal. However, our midfield was still not the best, but Godoy did have a pretty solid game. It wasn't his best game ever. It wasn't his prettiest. But his forays forward for that, again, he had an opportunity to put the game away and missed it. And I'm not counting it against him too harshly, but I'm just kind of giving it to award that. And hopefully, if he can become that and be the guy who is here most of the time and, you know, doing these things and playing like this, we can be, you know, that step up in a better team. We've talked about it. Like, ideally he and Sean should be 1-2 in our midfield with Drew and so forth. Depending on the lineups, different combination. Like, we, you know, clearly had three midfielders this game. So it's kind of like you've been trying to manifest it with Sam. I'm trying to manifest it a little with Godoy, but given that, and also just credit for, I mean, you made the shot, man.
Yeah. Those of you who had Annabeau Godoy bicycle kick on your bingo, on your get off my pitch bingo card, you've won this week, by the way. All right. Yeah. I had it for Hani. Again, on the field, it's just very different when then you watch the broadcast. Hani is starting to like you have said, and I have not listened to, but Hani is starting to get going. He's starting to get going. I think you're right. I think it was match fitness. It just seemed like he and Sam both are just better. They're just better shape right now. They're getting there at least.
Yes. No, I agree. He did not look. I feel like there had been some previous games where it seemed like he would lag, or he didn't run after. You didn't always run after balls or have the. No, I mean, he looked. It looked more like vintage Hani, and I think we saw some of that reflected. For instance, we'll throw this bonus stat out early. He had the highest expected goals of anyone in the game at 0.83. That's what we need from Hani. That is the Hani we need. Again, he is not our striker, so he may not necessarily score goals because he's going to be shooting from outside, trying to do possibly some higher degree of difficulty things. But for him to be the guy taking all those shots and doing that, that's what we need him to be. And then, you know, that may open up doors for Sam or vice versa or whatever it may be. So to me, that was the performance. It looked more like a performance we expect from Hani when he is playing well, and thus Nashville plays well.
Definitely. Definitely. All right.
That in general, like if you took that as one microcosm of this game and you took that takeaway of Hani played better and it looked like we played better because of it, that is a step in the right direction over what we've in any game this year other than that first Mocha game when he
and whenever that's why talking. That's why this match is definitely I like how you it's definitely a mixed bag. I definitely saw in this match, and my daughter definitely echoed it, we are progressing. The team is like offensively, we're starting to come together. It's not quite there yet. Again, the passes aren't crisp enough. The setup plays aren't timed right. Yeah, again, things are just a little bit off, but it's going there. I mean, it's getting there. All right, let's do the best goal before we take a break. Who had the best goal last Saturday night?
Gosh, Eric, I don't know. I mean, who had what probably is going to be and was tweeted by a few things like Andrew Weeb and others as the probable MLS goal of the week? It might have been Annabelle Gavoy.
It has to be. So
it's from the goal of the week, probably possibly goal of the month. I don't know about the year.
I don't know about that, but that long range shot at Quakes or something? They had that half field shot. That was pretty good. Chicago, that's it. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we learned with this draw. John is going to hit us with some key stats, and we'll tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. Stay with us. We are back. All right, John, it's time to talk about what we learned from this match. Mm-hmm. Share with me what you learned from this draw.
So people have talked about Jacob and his progress this year. He looked better. He looked good mm-hmm. this game. He assisted. I mean, he didn't score. We know he scored some. He scored two beautiful bangers in the Miami game in the CCC. I feel like Jacob's taken a step forward. So I learned that Jacob seems to be taking a step forward. I think that is good for us. I also want to pose that into a question, though, is are we overly reliant on him because of that? Like, he's gotten better, and I think he's taken on some of that, but are we also have we become a little too over-reliant on that? Like, especially in this game, it felt like there was no other route to get anything to the strikers except Jacob.
Yeah,
so,
I think that's a
good... I'd like to hear more about what do you think of his progress, and then also, like, how does that tie with our reliance on him, you know?
I think yes and no. In the run of play, there seemed to be more... there seemed to be more dribbling in this game. I'm just going to say, from my perspective, it seemed like there was more dribbling. Now, I don't know if the stats bear that out, but it seemed like there was more possession play because Sam was more engaged with the balls coming in, with the headers and getting the ball down. It seemed like there was more on the field in the run of play dribbling and a lot more of that. I don't know. I think that I do kind of agree with you. I think that it is a little, the cross has become a bit of a crutch for us offensively. And it doesn't, I think let's just say this, well-coached teams like Columbus are going to know how to defend us because it's so easy to know how we're going to attack, mm-hmm. right? I think that that's a possible scenario. So I think I agree with you on that point.
Yeah. And I will say both of those were pretty crafty crosses by Jacob. That one was kind of like he like scooped it. Like, I mean, these were not standard difficulty ones. So that was that.
His speed, the other thing I learned. Yeah. His speed though is a key part, but on the other hand, this is a great title for this broadcast, which is a mixed bag. His speed is such a difference maker in the game. It is totally, he is beating guys on the run. It's just amazing to watch. He is so fast. It's like Alan. I'm going to say, here's a throwback. It's like Alan Wynn. I mean, Alan Wynn was fast, and so is Jacob Schaffer.
On USL games, other two things I learned, one of them is brief, which is, man, when panic goes in goal, the feeling of dread is not nearly
it's
so
like
heavy.
Zero.
I was like, we could save this. And honestly, I mean, the broadcast said they're like, if he went a little bit inside to try and make that goal, it probably was saved if it didn't hit the bar.
So that's the point I made during the match. I was like, oh, he had that covered. Like, he was at that post. So, my daughter, for sure.
We can have the argument over whether in run of play, he or Willis is better. Mm. But man, when that PK comes up, you're like, oh, it's not Joe. Hey, we have a chance here.
And I think in run of play, I'm going to say it. I think in run of play, Joe's better. I think he is. I think it comes down to experience. Joe's just more experienced.
That last header, I don't think he gets baited into running over to that and mm-hmm. stays in position and has a chance at that, but that's my own opinion. But that's the other thing I learned is, as much as we do it, Shaq Moore is a much better right back than the combination of Bauer and Wheel. And
oh my God.
To me, Yeboah does not have nearly that level of freedom to do what he did in the second half. Because he was, if you saw, they looked like, Columbus in the second half looked like we did in the first half, which was everything's going down their left. We threw everything through Jacob and it was successful. They started throwing everything through Yeboah and finally got their goal. If Shaq's in this game, I don't think he's nearly as successful, and they have a lot more plotting possession and a lot harder time getting to something, and we probably eke out the 2-1 win.
Maybe.
So that's the other thing I realized is Shaq is a big deal back there, because his defensive prowess in blocking crosses and anticipating that, it's just, you know, Alex is not the same, and we had, you know, different center back pairings. So that's my other thing is I think I learned that we could have won that if Shaq hadn't gotten his minor injury in training and had to sit out.
Alex is decent. I think he and Bauer both are decent. But against quality attacks, they don't stand up.
Oh my God. So we did this last week with the Twelman broadcast. We had another Twelman bit that I 100% agree with. He called Alex Mwiel uncomplicated but effective. And I was like,
that's,
oh my God, that's it. Yeah. That's the perfect Alex Mwiel description.
Yeah.
He's not fancy. There's nothing special, though he did have that one little dink in there, but he is effective. And I was like, it was like a light bulb went on when he said that. I was like, yes, that is the exact Alex Mwiel philosophy.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. I tell you what I learned.
Anything else to add?
Yeah, I tell you what I learned is Sean Davis has to step up. His play on the field, just being there live, he was running around like he didn't really know what to do. And it was really poor. And I hate to say this, and my daughter kind of meant, it would have been better if we had had Tay Bryant in there. I feel like Bryant would have been a better fit for this match.
Yeah.
Maybe they went with Sean because he's faster. I think he is more control. He's obviously more controlled than Bryant. But I think Bryant's game has stepped up to the point where I think he should have gotten the start over Sean. I also think that it is so evident that not having Lucas and Walker back there, it is it's really a mess. Our defensive line is just a mess. Bauer got a yellow card because he just got beat on a play. He got beat.
Well, no, he technically got the card because he was jawing at him at the end.
No, my point is that he got beat. He got mad that he got beat, and then he got a card and he deserved it. I was commenting in the audience that he got his money's worth. I can tell you that. But that was kind of dumb. Well,
and let's wrap this up with one slightly uncomfortable question of what's happened to Jack Mayer?
We need a, that's another segment. That's almost like another segment because he is, speaking of people that need to step up, he's not playing well at all, John.
I mean, I know he's technically our Iron Man and up until this game had played every minute. He was subbed out. But I remember last year early on, we were like, oh man, Walker, Jack, 1-2, we got this. We're okay with Dave Romney being gone. No big deal. You know, and then we brought in Lucas and he's handsome and plays well too. And, you know, we're like, all right, we've got three center backs deep. And I don't know, man, he's just off this year. It's not the same.
He's off. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll table this. Let me talk about this next week. I think there's more to this, but we'll small sample size right now, only a few games. We'll talk after the Philly game. We'll talk about it. All right, John, here's some key stats.
So some interesting ones. Obviously, they outpossessed the dickens out of us. Like, we knew that. That was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it did. We had higher expected goals. Depending on who you looked at, MLS had us at 2.1 to their 1.4. FootMob has 1.7 to 1.4. Yes. Even though they had the PK, we still had a higher percentage. And let's dive into that expected goal, because I want to bring up a point to harken back to that Schaffelberg discussion. So, Godoy's bicycle kick, according to this, was an expected goal of 0.13, so a 13% chance that goes in. Now, I think there's a slight thing there of their calculating positions on the field, not necessarily difficulty as in, was it a bicycle kick? Could he have headed it? Like, I think there's a little ambiguity on that execution. But again, 0.13 expected goals, so a 13% chance. Zwiderski's header, according to this, was a 2% chance. So that header was a lower expected goal than that. I bring that up because I think it's a more difficult shot. I just find that interesting in that situation. I'm not saying that absolves Jacob of all the stuff, but that was a much more difficult shot to make in that situation than that. I think the XG gives a little bit of illustration to that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I think this is the difference between the empirical, like the optics of watching it and then looking at it via tape or analytics, is that it looked like he just lost his guy. to me, I was like, oh yeah, that's not good.
But I think it's showing the situation that is not a common outcome. So yes, I do think he lost his guy. There's responsibility to bear, but in some ways it was a fairly difficult header to sink because he had to get it down to that corner. So there's just kind of thought I'd illustrate that. The other thing is, again, we talk about expected goals. Anibal Godoy was second on the team with 0.5 because he had that one, but he also had that beauty at the end. And man, I would have loved to have a Godoy, double. But with all of that said, Eric, do you know who is still sitting on top of the goals scored?
That would be
I don't know, Eric. Who might it be? It would be Teal Bunbury.
Yeah, it would be Teal Bunbury.
Because even though Jacob has scored 3 goals, 2 of them were in CCC. They were not in this. Teal Bunbury is still the highest scoring Nashville SC player. I have not calculated, but by the end of the broadcast, I'll tell you how many days he's been doing that, because this is the facts that the people have demanded we provide them.
Yeah. I do want to say that it was very sweet in the post game. Anibal Godoy talked about like how he tells his kid every night after he plays that he scored a goal. his little boy's like, he goes, his dad, his little kid's like, did you score, Daddy? He goes, of course I scored. Of course I scored. <You're> like, and he was like, he was just very excited for his goal because for several reasons. But go watch Valera. Go to YouTube. Go to Valera's channel. Check out the interview. It's very, very funny. It's very, very good. Valera does
29 days. Teal Bunbury has been the top scoring MLS player for 29 days.
All right. More important than that is I need to know from you who or what needs to get off your pitch.
Eric, I don't think anything is more important than that right now, because that's a microcosm of
that might be it, yeah.
So here's the thing. With Nashville SC games, you know, we get certain perks and bonuses. I know Zaxby's is doing some salad thing. Mm-hmm. We had a cool hot chicken promotion, which I didn't go to the game
because
I had a child commitment thing, but it was a really cool scarf. I love that National Hot Chicken Day. But I want to bring up something that up until this year, you know, with Taco Bell, we had the victory chalupas. So in other words, if we won.
No, we still do. We still do. It was during the game.
No, Eric, hold on. We used to have victory chalupas, which was if NSC wins, we get a chalupa the next day. This year, they changed it. So the rules say, the giveaway is if Nashville scores 2 goals, we do that. You know what? You know, it's really funny, Eric. How many games have we won this year? 1. Yet how many games have we scored 2 goals in MLS? Well, that would actually, because I think they count the CONCACAF Championship too. That'd be 4 games that we've scored 2 goals. So my red card goes to the Taco Bell analytics team.
Wow.
For clearly seeing something in the tea leaves that told them that Nashville may not win games, but they're going to score more this year. Mm. And so we'll get more chalupas and promote it more by changing the rule from wins to 2 goals. And they shared that with none of us. They didn't call Mike Jacob or Ian and say, hey, just a tip. Just, I don't know. It could be, Eric.
Where was Taco Bell when Walker or Zimmerman got hurt? That's what I want to ask. I have questions. I'm just asking questions.
And that's why I wanted to open your and the viewers' minds up to this, to consider this point that clearly Taco Bell knew something. And they said, we still want the people to have chalupas, dang it. So we're going to change the rules to make it 2 goals that earns you a chalupa. And so far, we've been pretty successful. I don't know. I give them a red card because clearly there was something they knew and saw and didn't share it with anyone. I can't say it's the most nefarious means, because we're getting free chalupas if you want to participate. Mm-hmm. But there's something in the back of my mind. It just doesn't sit right with me, Eric. It doesn't sit right with me.
Something's up. Something's up. All right. Tejan, I can tell you who or what needs to get off my pitch, and that's me. I'm giving myself a yellow card. So it's Saturday morning after my workout, I was making French toast for my lovely family, and I had run out of eggs. So I popped down to the Green Hills Kroger to grab a carton of eggs, checking out, I'm walking out. Who do I see coming out of the Kroger than Mr. Taylor Twellman himself? And so, of course, I instantly shout, Taylor Twellman! Because like you, seeing a certain, Alistair Johnston in the men's room at Geodis Park, you see soccer celebrities, you just kind of just like, there you are. And he kind of just, he was like on his headphones and like turned around and goes, hey man. I was like, hey, Taylor, are you in here for the broadcast? He goes, yep, it's going to be a good game tonight. I'm like, well, I was like, keep up the good work. He was like, The only problem is that I didn't call him Taylor Twellman. I called him Tyler Twellman. And I was like, I probably like mispronounced the name. So my yellow card goes to me for, and we'll talk about this in the VAR. I keep mispronouncing or misremembering people's names, and it's getting bad. Okay. It's getting bad. Even Mr. Twellman.
I've been talking with your family and we're considering about sending you to the special.
I think Mr. Twellman can attest, but that's not what my red card. No, my red card is for Gary Smith, head coach of Nashville SC, for subbing off Sam in late in the game. There was no point in it.
No.
Everyone in my section, I stood up and was looking around and people were like, people started booing because that was uncalled for. Sam clearly did not want to be subbed off, number one. No. He didn't need to be subbed off. And it definitely sent the signal that we were just giving up. Like, all right, we're done.
The yellow and red card. I don't have a white flag, but yes, we waved.
We were done.
If there was a waving of a white flag, I agree. And I saw outrage online and I agree with it because Sam is better than Teal, period. Yeah. Just like we talked about with Dan is better than Taylor. So why did they start last week? That was weird. He does. He seems fit. I don't see what Gary sees in that of like, oh, bringing Teal out here is going to change anything or make it better. Or we need to rest Sam. We've got a full week off.
In fact, it made it worse because Teal doesn't have the leg. He doesn't have any speed. He doesn't have any dribbling ability. And he missed two headers. Like, he didn't. He got dispossessed twice. Everyone was not happy about it. I was very not happy about it. And that's who can get off my pitch. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to tell you who we're playing next week and what our score predictions was and how we did and what we got wrong. So stay with us. All right, we are back. All right, John, you were talking about people giving feedback online. How could people tell us what they thought of Gary subbing off Sam Surridge in the very end of the game?
Yeah. So snail mail. No, I'm just kidding. You can find us on Twitter.
We can do a PO box. Yeah, we got a PO box. Yeah.
PO box at GUMP_pod on Twitter, or you can go to YouTube and look us up on Get Off My Pitch.
Yeah. All right. We also broadcast live 8 p.m. Sunday nights on Match Weeks. Check us out. You can find us on Get Off My Pitch on the YouTube. All right, John. I have tried to switch this channel to be a live channel as like a specific live channel. So you won't find any of our archive content. You'll have to just go on to Apple or wherever you get your podcast. The videos are just going to be live from now on. Okay. All right, John, who are we playing and when are we playing?
Ooh, well, in a fun one, we're going to have back-to-back home games it's kind of the first time. Yeah, anyway. For back-to-back home games, Philadelphia is going to come into town. Okay. This should be an interesting one. They have had a good run of form recently.
Yes, they have.
So, yeah, this will be another tough one. I don't know. We'll talk more about it. But I believe they just came off of a very nice win, and I can't remember. Oh, yeah, they beat Minnesota, who was leading the Western Conference 2-0.
That was Portland a good match, too.
Though Portland lost again this week, so maybe I think that might be more a factor of Portland's having struggles than Philly was that impressive. So I might be changing my mind about that. Mm. But 7:30 usual kickoff time, Central Time. I will be there for this one because I don't have other this time. So
I will be there as well. I might be solo that night, but I will be there. All right, John, let's talk about how we did on our score predictions. We were both pretty sour. I predicted a 1-3 Columbus Crew win. You had predicted a 1-2 Columbus Crew win. Apparently, we had no faith in Annabelle Godoy's bicycle abilities.
But I mean, yes. I was close, though.
Yeah, we were close. All right, John.
I would say this, but before we go on to Philly predictions, I think the biggest thing is everyone thought we might lose this coming in. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, Columbus was without some key players due to injury. Derek Jones' red card. Cucho was mysteriously left behind, which is still a mystery with the Tigers game. Wilfred Nancy was cagey and didn't say he was going to play. So
yeah, that was weird.
There may be some other storms brewing in Columbus, but that's not really our problem. I still think even with that, I was going to say everyone kind of predicted a loss. I am happy. I want to just go back to the gut check. I am happy with the tie. I'm not happy with how it happened. But if you told me beforehand we would get a tie, I was pretty okay with that as a result. So just to clarify. Sure. And I think a lot of fans were because we were scared of it. The way it happened, it made it feel a lot more like a loss. So
I agree. All right. What's your scoreline for the Philly match?
I don't know. They've played well. We haven't always necessarily matched up against them. But I also feel like occasionally they drop some stinkers. I'm going to go with we win 2-1. I'm going to throw some optimism out there. Let's see what happens. It's probably going to be a draw. But I'm going to go with 2-1 win because I like chalupas, so I'm going to go with 2. I don't know that I'm ever going to predict less than 2 from now on because of chalupas. Course.
I like chalupas as well. However, I think it's going to be a 2-3 loss. I think it's going to be a late game loss. I'm not 100% on our defense. I think it's still going to be a mess next week. I just don't know how even okay, one of the things I forgot to mention in my segment, I really wanted to bring up, Dan Lovitz is hurt. He was playing injured. He fit, like when the off the ball, you didn't see in the broadcast. And my daughter mentioned it a couple of times. He was bent over in pain. He is playing hurt, and I don't know, man. That worries me a lot.
Well, between he and Shaq. Well, I will say this. The good news after this is we have a bye week. So after this game, we have a bye week before we travel to Fort Lauderdale, and that's a whole other story. Ugh. But we do have a bye week. So they have mentioned Gary thinks Lucas will at least be available for lineup. Walker might be questionable at best. So the good news is we have a week after this game. If we can squeak something out, even a tie, coming back from that bye week, things may get better because we'll have 2 more weeks for these people to round off injuries and things like that. So, and now with no more cup congestion, there's nothing until the League's Cup comes around. It's just this MLS schedule. Maybe we can get people healthy and try to turn a corner and get our starting best 11 out there and see what this team truly looks like. So the month of April could be very interesting in the tail end.
Yeah, I think so. I want to go into that Miami match with a lot of, like, as they say across the pond, good heart. I want us to be like on an up trajectory going into the match because I think we need to take a match from Miami to kind of put ourselves back in the conversation as one of the top clubs. Like, we're out of the conversation of the top clubs. We just are. Like, people are like, oh, isn't it sad Nashville's below the line now? Like, they just forgot it. They're just forgetting about us. And I want us to get back into the conversation. I'm not saying we should dominate the league or anything. I don't know if that's reasonable at this point, but we definitely need to get back up there. It's, you know, there are too many good players on our team that deserve a lot better. That's my point. All right, John, talk about what we got wrong from last week. And I think one of them's pretty obvious.
So one thing I was talking about, Shaq and his issues, and I mentioned I said he got a red card in the game and continued to play, which absolutely doesn't make sense. He got a yellow card. That's what I meant to say. But yeah, I definitely slipped up and said red card, so I apologize because obviously that would have greatly changed the trajectory of the – oh, no, it wouldn't. We still lost to LAFC. It wouldn't change a damn thing. But the other one, Eric, yes, it's Tyrese Spicer, not Sean Spicer, who went to Lipscomb and now plays for Toronto, scored his goal. And yes, for everyone who is listening to the podcast, Eric is wearing a Lipscomb soccer shirt because he is now officially on the bandwagon, I guess you could say. I mean, you've got a year.
Since I do hold a degree from the university, I've always been on the bandwagon.
Oh, okay.
And I still am. You know, I don't know why I had one of the problems is I wrote it in my notes and I'm lazy. You know, I'm lazy. And so I copy paste a lot of things. I had written Sean Davis in the same spot. And so I had just not backed out all the name and typed in Spicer. So Sean Spicer, that's the story I'm going with. It doesn't track though. I have a track record at this point. So I do apologize Tyrese.
You know, I just now realized that, you know, with every episode we do, you introduce yourself and you have me introduce myself. Is that because you forget my name, Eric?
I have it written down. All I'm saying is I have it written down on the show notes. How about that? On that bombshell, we will thank you, John, for joining me tonight. We will thank you for joining us live and listening to us across here and across the pond. Thank you so much. We do appreciate it. Please leave a comment if you would. Tell us who or what needs to get off your pitch. Until next week, John, have a good night.
We'll talk to you next week.